Good evening. Welcome to the January 9th, 2017 meeting of the Aiken City Council, our first of the year, so Happy New Year's to everybody. We're going to open, as we always do, with invocation, followed by the pledge, and I'm going to ask Councilwoman Gail Diggs if she would lead us our invocation.
Good evening. May we pray? Dear God in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to see another day in this new year. We thank you for watching over us during the recent storms, and most of all, we thank you for your favor. Lord, we pray for peace in our communities and across our nation. Grant our new administration guidance and direction, and bless our elected officials everywhere. Remind us that we represent all people, and give us the wisdom to make decisions that benefit us all. We ask special blessings for the athletes and the coaches on both sides of the football field tonight. Protect them from injuries and bestow traveling grace upon all of the fans, and let no hurt, harm, or danger come to them. Bless the staff and all the families represented here in our audience tonight, and wrap your loving arms of protection to all as they return to their homes. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. I'd like to ask Councilman DeWar, if you would, to lead us in our pledge at this time.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman DeWar. The guidelines for Aiken City Council meetings: our meetings are public forums in which many opinions are expressed and the business of the city must be conducted. As such, disciplined, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During public hearing, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to the chair. If you wish to speak, raise your hand and the chair will recognize you. Please approach the podium and state your name and address. In order to allow an opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subject being discussed. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once unless questions from council are posed to the speaker. And with that, I would like to recognize our Mayor Pro Tem, Councilman Ebner, for additions and deletions to the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Biedenbaugh has a change to one item on the agenda, please.
We request that under petitions and requests, section 5, number 2, approval to spend capital project sales tax 3 funds for the Safe Routes to Schools project be continued to a future meeting. Since the agenda was published, we've had some additional communication with SCDOT that is a sponsor of the primary, of a portion of the funding that we need to continue that before we're ready to take it to council for consideration.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Mayor, or anybody from council have any other changes? Hearing none, Mr. Mayor, I amend the agenda to include Mr. Biedenbaugh's comment about continue that item, and we'll so vote on it when it comes up on the agenda.
All right, is that in the form of a motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Second. We have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as presented, pulling number 2 under petitions and requests. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. The minutes were distributed prior to the meeting to council members to look over. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
I so move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second to me.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any changes or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the minutes as presented, please raise your hand. Very good. As we move down to presentations at this time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to recuse myself from the discussion involving the Myrtle Anderson property. Some have raised a concern that I have an ethical conflict due to the fact that Warnke Cleaners is located in this property. I do not want these discussions about this property to be tainted in any way. Therefore, I'm going to recuse myself from the discussion involving the Myrtle Anderson property to avoid the appearance of impropriety. At this time, I will turn the meeting over to Mayor Pro Tem Ebner, and I will leave the room during this discussion. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At this time, I'd like the city manager to introduce the subject, please, as stated in the agenda item.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, and through you to the members of the council. As the council members are aware, we have been requested to respond to a series of questions that have been received dealing with the downtown revitalization project. We have, from time to time, put on our website a significant amount of material, including frequently asked questions, and it was the feeling of our Mayor Pro Tem that we formalize this process by memorializing the responses so that interested parties that might not be able to be here this evening would have access to the answers to the questions. And so I will be sharing this responsibility this evening with our city attorney. And we have some very specific questions that were asked. We were asked to respond to. I would also say that at the end of the presentation, our assistant city manager is going to be putting up a list of emails. And I would ask anyone present in the audience or listening at home this evening to forward any additional questions that you may have so that informed decisions can be made. So with that, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, I would like to begin by going through the list of questions that have been submitted to the council so that we can put into the record the responses.
All right. I'd like to make some opening comments, both to reinforce what the mayor said, how we operate our meetings, your time frames, and we want to be courteous to other members in there. As already been stated by the city manager, I have some additional comments to make. Over the past few weeks, I've received a number of calls and emails from citizens questioning about the downtown development renaissance. I've made a list of those questions and concerns as I heard them and have requested this evening's presentation to be made with a view toward answering those questions. City Manager John Clem, City Attorney Gary Smith prepared to make a presentation addressing said questions. Following the presentation, time will be given to you to share your comments, concerns, and questions. Please be aware that your questions will be addressed in a series of public meetings to be scheduled after February 3rd. Requests for proposals are due, and being able to analyze these proposals. Staff has been asked to keep a record of these questions and provide answers as they become available. So, to repeat that, tonight we'll list all of our concerns and questions, but it will not be any answers given tonight. With those comments, City Manager and City Attorney, please begin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. So the first question, probably the question that has been asked most often, is will the city buy the properties currently owned by the Andersons and the Shaws? And the simple answer to that question is no. The city has never considered buying the Shaw or Anderson properties. The purpose of the city securing the options was to allow the city council and the and Aiken residents, if they so choose, to have a say on who will be revitalizing or renovating the properties. We were notified early on that the property owner in question has decided that they're going to sell the property. So the securing of the options allows us the opportunity to, in the first instance, to have a say on who's going to redevelop the property. Secondly, it would allow an opportunity for this council and our citizens to have more of a say about what types of uses would go in on this property. You all can imagine the reaction if the property owner sold to the highest bidder. and they, within the broad parameters of what is allowed under zoning, put something in there that was not in keeping with the uniqueness and the charm of the downtown, which is allowed by existing zoning. So the second purpose of securing the option would be to have a say on what type of use goes into the property. And the last purpose in securing the option, and while we have a wonderful design review board, this would give ultimate control to our citizens and to our city council and city government to have a final say on the architectural design of what is being proposed. If you don't like the design ultimately, and you'll have every opportunity if we receive bids on February 3rd, we will have, I'm sure, many public forums and sessions outlining what's being proposed, allowing you as citizens to say, I like that, I don't like that, before a decision is made. The design review board has to work within parameters, and they could be sued if they aren't fair. The truth is, the obtaining of the options will allow the city and our residents, for any reason, to decide not to transfer our options, design being first and foremost. I've talked to some citizens that were originally against what was being proposed because they are historic preservationists, and they do care about the design and the architecture and the uniqueness of our downtown. When they found out that this actually gives the city more control over architecture and design, their position on this overall effort changed. And so those are the reasons that we have received or acquired the options. But no, it has never been any member of the city council, nor has it been any the desire of anyone in city government for the city to actually acquire either the Anderson or the Sharp property. Number two, how has the city paid for the following? First, the option for the Anderson and the Sharp properties, which allowed the city to take these properties off the market if it was the property owner's desire to sell, and we certainly know that at least one of them has every intention of selling, we obtained an option. And we were allowed to do that for a total cost of $5,001. For the many months that we have held the option and will hold the option, the total cost to the city was $5,001. That was paid for from the city's economic reinvestment fund, which is part of our general fund, established to support these types of economic development activities. So that's how much it cost, and that's where the money came from. B, professional services to draft the request for proposals document. We obviously could have had staff who don't necessarily have a tremendous amount of expertise in the law and in real estate, but this is serious business. So we reached out to one of the leading authorities in the state of South Carolina in procurement law and asked for his expertise and guidance in drafting the request for proposal. And the cost to draft the request for proposal was $2,775. And by the way, it is our intent that if we do transfer these options, to recoup every one of these dollars back from the development team. Three, did we offer the owners of Newbury Hall a city contract to operate a city conference center? Now, this was baffling for me because I didn't really understand the question, because I'm the city manager and I've never talked to anybody about creating a conference center or a civic center on this site. And I can tell you, and they are present this evening, the owners of Newbury Hall happen to be present this evening, that we've never had any conversations with them about running a conference or a center or a convention center or a civic center, because that's not what we have in mind. That's not what our planners and our plans have suggested the use for this property should be. So the answer to the question is there's never been any discussion by our staff about a city contract for anything for the owners of Newbury Hall. Now, we've had regular communication and contact with every one of the tenants. And as a matter of fact, I've tried to keep to a meeting every 2 or 3 weeks. And I will be setting up this week the next iteration of that for next week. And so I have had many conversations with every single one of the tenants. We think we owe it to them to let them know on a weekly basis or every 2 weeks what's going on and what they can expect. And so we have had a lot of communication with all of the tenants, including Newbury Hall, but it's never been about a civic center or a convention center or anything like that. I've never had a conversation, nor do I have a desire to support. The next group of questions will be answered by our city attorney, Gary Smith.
Thank you, John. Question number four was, who wrote the request for proposal? And that request for proposal was completed by Stuart Biedenboe, our assistant city manager. And Stuart had the legal assistance from attorney Keith Powell, who was mentioned earlier, and legal assistance from myself, the city attorney, Gary Smith. Question number five, was the Anderson option ever approved / discussed in a city council meeting? And the answer is that the Anderson option was discussed in executive session in accordance with South Carolina law. Question number six, does the city manager have the authority to execute an option? And what everybody has to understand, in its simplest terms, an option is a contract. And under he does have the authority to enter into contracts as the city manager for the city of Aiken. Under City Code Section 2-248, the city manager is the chief administrative officer, and he is responsible for all affairs of the city. It's important to also understand that even department heads have the authority to execute contracts on behalf of the city. Numerous contracts are executed by city staff annually to allow the business of the city to be conducted. The authority to execute these contracts comes from the budgets that are passed by City Council on an annual basis.
Number seven, although it was asked, it was already answered, which is how do we pay for the options or what was the council's involvement? And I would suggest that you go back and look at numbers 2A and 6 for that response. Number eight, if a parking garage is built, how would the city pay for it? Now, I want to answer that a little differently than the answer that's provided and say there's been no decision on whether we need a parking garage, whether we want a parking garage, or whether there will be a parking garage. The council has not had that conversation, and no decisions have been made. The issue of parking was one of the prominent issues that came forward. Now, another question that's been asked is, how come there haven't been public meetings so the general public could discuss the future of the downtown? And I would remind, and I look out in the audience, and I see quite a few folks that actually attended the series of meetings. Last December and then last spring, we had a series of workshops right in this building on the first floor. Over 200 Aiken citizens came forward in a professionally facilitated meeting with additional focus groups and interviews. We interviewed over 100 community leaders from all sectors of the city in terms of what their hopes and their desires and their issues for the downtown were. Parking was one of the issues that just kept coming up. People were saying, why don't you once and for all decide whether you're going to do something about the parking issue downtown, and if so, what it will be. And so the city manager didn't decide one morning when he got up that we should have a parking garage. That issue actually came out from a series of meetings of Aiken residents, Aiken citizens, who had that as one of the highest priorities that we addressed that. And so the question is, how would we pay for it? Well, before I got here, but several years ago, this council, after much debate, decided to implement a hospitality tax. I suspect that more than a few in this room either like or dislike that issue, but they did. And one of the reasons that they did that was to utilize some of the funds from the hospitality tax to address the downtown parking issue. And so the budget before I was involved, the city not only voted to implement a hospitality tax, they also decided to take the revenues from that tax, $500,000, and set it aside for a point in time if and when they decided to solve the parking issue. Then last year, they decided to increase that amount to an additional $750,000. So obviously, there has been some discussion by this council and the general public about creating a funding stream to facilitate a solution to the parking problems. So even though this council and this city hasn't made a final decision, I suspect that because they created a hospitality tax, and one of the reasons they did it is to give the option for the city to have a funding source, that would be the funding source. And as I said, we've already set up $500,000 that's cash that's in the bank set aside from the first year to $750,000 in the second year to fund a parking garage. Now, obviously, a parking garage of any substance would be a lot more than that, and I suspect that we would use the hospitality tax to fund a bond to build or to pay for a parking garage. So that's how I assume we would pay for it if, in fact, the city and the city council ultimately decides that we're going to have a parking garage, which they haven't done yet.
Yes, sir. Number nine is describe the relocation cost / aspects stated in the RFP that a developer might accrue for tenants at the Anderson properties. And this was important to the conclusion of the RFP. The city RFP requires each development team to draft an accommodations plan with each of the existing tenants. In four separate sections of the RFP, developers are required to address the issue of tenant accommodations. None of these protections would exist without city involvement unless they were otherwise protected by existing leases. If Ms. Anderson, for example, decided she was going to sell the property to somebody else and all of the leases in her buildings were expired, they would have to get out on their own and they would have to find a way to do that. So the city has gone above and beyond to try to protect those folks and see if the developers are able to come up with some sort of creative way to enable that transition to occur in a way that will be acceptable to all parties. Number 10 is the Hotel Aiken part of the downtown revitalization project, and the answer to that question is no. The Hotel Aiken is not mentioned as part of the RFP that was sent out in the RFP to all of the developers who were seeking to bid on this project. Describe the Newberry Hall lease as it relates to the Anderson option. And the answer to that is, if City Council decides to go forward with this project, the selected developer will have to address any concerns with the titles to the various properties that need to be cleared in order for the project to move forward. Each one of these properties may have a different title issue that needs to be addressed. A lease to any property would be one of those issues that may have to be addressed. I have not reviewed the Newberry Hall lease. I don't know exactly what it says, and I don't believe anybody on staff has reviewed that lease either. That's actually a private agreement between Newberry Hall and Ms. Myrtle Anderson. With respect to the Lawrence Municipal and Brinkley properties, One, explain how the RFP addresses the administrative and finance building on Warren Street, the Brinkley property, and the municipal building. The RFP allows developers to present proposals for a variety of options related to the consolidation of city operations, including the acquisition of 135 Warren Street Southwest and the potential expansion of the municipal building. City Council has not made a decision on this, and the RFP is really designed in such a way for the developers to give the city creative ways to address all of those issues. Number two, how could we finance the new addition to the municipal building if City Council so chooses? Assuming we do get bids and the project does go forward, a financing package would be developed, and it would include, one, existing capital projects, sales tax, three, funds that are set aside for municipal building expansion, two, revenues generated from the sale of 135 Warren Street Southwest, three, the lease or sale of the municipal building's first floor conference center, and or four, financing options that are available now or in the future to the city. All of this would be approved in a forum that would include two readings and public hearings held as part of several city council meetings. And then lastly, question number three, what happens after the developers submit their proposals? At that time, we would expect City Council to entertain a proposal to create a Citizens Developer Selection Committee and thereafter hold a series of public workshops and public hearings on every aspect of the revitalization plan.
So, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, those are our responses to the questions that the Council has received. We welcome this evening and thereafter additional questions. With the format that you've set up this evening, we will entertain and listen to questions and then respond. We could actually begin responding this immediately, and we would hope that people would continue to visit the website. There's a clearly identified section of our website where frequently asked questions are submitted. So as additional questions are submitted to us, we will immediately post the responses as soon as we can, depending on what the question is, and we will forward them to the Council so that we can memorialize them, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, which you wanted to do, into the permanent record of the City Council.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smith and Mr. Clem. At this time, we will open the floor for citizens to make their comments. Please be reminded that you may have up to 5 minutes to speak, and please be courteous to the rest of the citizens present. We ask that you, as we do in all council meetings, address the chair, and in this case, the mayor pro tem, with your questions and comments. So at this time, I'll open the podium and microphone for comments, questions, or concerns. Anybody that would like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Barbara Stafford, Colleton Avenue. This is with reference to the option with the Shaw family. I think it's called the Holly House, that portion. Mm-hmm. So I read in the Aiken Standard that he, Mr. Shaw, or the Shaw family, would only exercise his option if he would be guaranteed that the city would build a parking garage within 2 years. Is that part of the option?
We can duly answer that question after the meeting.
Okay, that's my question.
Yes, ma'am. Very good question. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Wendy Mason. I live at 1969 Powder House Road, South Aiken. But we lived across the street from City Hall for 13 years, across from George's Funeral Home and behind Wilcox. And we have children, grandchildren, and we're very concerned about what happens now to the city. It seems that 3 months is not long enough for us who cared for Aiken for 40 years, Aiken County for 50 years, to respond and help maybe make these decisions. Personally, I've learned a lot in the last few days or weeks. I was very involved in the South Powder House connector road. I drew the plans eventually because I knew the town. And I would like to help any way I could. My concern is that Aiken, well, this is what I found out just the last couple of days. I guess City Hall was originally, well, in 1925, an old map in the museum, it was in the middle of Newberry Street with a pool behind it and the Chamber of Commerce. Can you believe that? In the middle of the park. It was not attached to a city block. And I was a small business for a long time. After the crash, you have to adapt or you give up, and I don't believe in giving up, but I have to sometimes. But here we have a lot of smart people, very educated, and from plumbers to engineers to PhDs, who can help save this town. Gloria Norwood and I came here. And we shared an old boarding house. I rented from Walter Plunkett first, then we bought that home from Earl Hawley's family. I'm very familiar with Old Aiken, and I met a lot of people in antiques for 13 years and 16 years on Park and Newberry. So, of course, I'm concerned about what happens. Would you consider another option? You are in the middle of a business block. Over from the map I've found recently, the main major important buildings are across the street. It's the courthouse, county, the federal courthouse, the old post office. And when you ride down Park Avenue, you see those buildings. But nobody can find this one as recently as December the 16th on my birthday, 77 years. I came to get a big map from the planning department. The nice lady said that the city hall had been in the old fire station. I said, too long, because you blend right in with the business block. And I feel for these businesses that are being affected, the uncertainty. And I just think if you could make another choice, trade with the county, that's what works best. There was, am I running out of time?
You need to be wrapping it up. You need to come to conclusion, please, ma'am.
When they were planning to put Sam's on Whiskey,
just the chair.
I and my husband got very involved.
You need to speak into the microphone because we're recording it.
I said, I was very involved, and I've never been involved. My grandpa Reagan was a politician down in South Georgia, and he said never get involved because it's too dirty. My mother will be 103 weeks, and she said if something is wrong, it's wrong. And you go after it. And so there are times when you have to be involved. Anyway, can you imagine the traffic situation on Whiskey right now if the county and the city had not done the right thing?
You need to bring it to a conclusion, please, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. The gentleman in the back over here, please, first.
Good evening.
Dexter Price, 539 Marlboro Street. Firstly, I want to commend each and every one of you for what you guys are doing with the Aiken Renaissance. I truly believe in my heart and will go on record saying that this is good for Aiken. One thing that I hope that we're able to understand is that planning is good, but execution is better. And I think that as people come together and really see the good that is in this, we can stop the hindrance on the actual planning and get to the execution, because we have to come together in order to make this happen. One thing that is really important that I think that for you all to convey to everyone is that a strong and vibrant downtown is the epicenter of opportunity for everybody in Aiken. This is good for everybody, because as we see the development and the growth in downtown, these 26 blocks and how they expand, we'll see the same in regard to the Highway 1 and Highway 19 in the development that can happen there, and also solving some of the problems that we're dealing with, the critical mass due to traffic on Whiskey Road. We have to come together and see the good, because progress is good. Stepping into the future is good. And as a young professional and a small business owner here, I see where the need for just what you all are doing is, because we truly do need it. We've got the support of the chamber. We've got the support of a lot of the business owners around here, and we've got the support from a lot of the community. Even though many haven't been as vocal as they can be, I think that right now they need to see what you guys are going to do. And I believe in my heart that you guys are truly making the effort to do something greater. So kudos to each and every one of you guys, and continue to push forward. I hope the rest of the city stands with you all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. There's a lady over here, please, ma'am. How are you doing?
Council members, my name is Ann Dix. I stay at 314 Tehachapi Drive, Aiken, South Carolina. If you would turn to page 28 and item number 2, and under 2, item number 3, I would like to respectfully ask the council if they would consider not getting rid of that conference center, because it is used by small organizations who are not able to use the convocation center or other places to do activities there that are helpful for the community. In fact, my sorority, we did a food drive. My husband's fraternity, they did a mother-son event there. I don't know what other, but it is a small enough area to encompass small organizations who do not have big budgets.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My name is Gene Hart. I live at 120 Inwood Drive. I'd like to say thank you to the Mayor Pro Tem, the Council, and Mr. Clem. I believe Aiken is at a point in time where we will either decide to grow our downtown and attract not only our citizens back, but also an outside market, or we will pay the price by slowly fading over the next 10 years. I believe that we need ideas like the Renaissance Plan, the remodel of Hotel Aiken, a parking garage, and a facelift to our parkways, and attainable housing as well. I further believe we need forward thinking like this to attract new business, to attract young professionals and retirees who are increasingly looking for a downtown atmosphere to live and to play in. I watch as citizens of Aiken leave our beautiful city every weekend to visit and shop in places like Charleston, Savannah, and Greenville. Our beautiful city offers the same, if not more, history, art, and beautiful architecture than those cities, but we have not developed the downtown into a place that is vibrant with activity, living space, shopping, and reasonable nightlife that those cities have. I want this city to attract the best of the best to replace our retiring workforce. But we need to offer all the great things that our other vibrant cities do. I want this city to grow. I want it to grow with not only a focus on the future, but with a focus on the history that has made us great. I want to close by saying thank you for the forward thinking and the hard work that many of these projects will take to complete. I feel confident that we have elected the best group possible to move our city forward and look forward to the future of Aiken. So, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Tom Dean. I live at 312 Currycomb Drive in Aiken. I think that the Renaissance program is something that's far down the list of spending priorities for the city of Aiken. I've attended a meeting where we had a presentation, which is very well done, about the deep hole we're in on a city and the city water and sewer and storm
infrastructure
expenditures that we've dug a big hole for. We're about $15 million, I believe, in the hole. We're back at the revenues coming in are short by that amount of money. I believe the ratepayers of the water and sewer system should be paying for the backlog of deferred maintenance that we've seen. The first priorities ought to be in public safety. You were already identified $10 million, you know, needed for a new public safety building. We've got $15 million in overhang in deferred maintenance for the water and sewer and storm systems. I think that this Renaissance program is far down the list in spending priorities. As far as addressing the shortfall in the water and sewer area, I would think that the ratepayers ought to be making up that difference rather than borrowing about $10 or $15 million to do it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Yes, sir.
Jeffrey Jordan, Aiken. You know, we talk about a lot of things in here, and we should. Some of the things blow my mind that we talk about still, parking. I mean, my father owned a business in 1980 and before at Richland and Newberry, and you know what we didn't have then? We didn't have enough parking. So 35 years later, we're still entertaining the idea that people don't think we need parking down here. So that, I mean, some of the things, it does astound me as well, John, that we still talk about those things, that we haven't made decisions. This town has put off so many decisions in the last 30 years that it's gotten to the point where it's time to stop talking about it and we do things. Mm-hmm. I agree with this gentleman. We kick the can down the road on a lot of infrastructure things, and we have to pay for that. But we can't do it at the risk of not continuing to grow the city and invite people to come here and live here and work here. I have, my wife and I have 7 children. And they're all 26 years old and under. I want them to be able to stay here and not have to move to Greenville and Charleston and Charlotte and all those places because they have jobs and opportunity and educational things. So we are at a crossroads, as people, as a lot of people have said. It is time for us to start making some hard decisions. It is time for us to put our money where our mouth is and start moving this town forward into what it can be. I was in Somerville about 6 months ago. When I went to the College of Charleston, Somerville was a wide spot in the road. It's not a wide spot in the road anymore. It's a booming, thriving town. They've got. Do they have problems? They sure do. They need more roads. They need more sewers. They need more this. They need more that. I don't think you're ever going to have enough of that. But what they do have, what I've noticed, and just talking to people in restaurants and the places we went to, they have a can-do attitude. When I read editorials in the newspaper, even from elected officials, all we talk about is what's wrong with around here. Why don't we get to work on making things right? We've clearly identified those things. We've paid for studies. We've talked it till it's blue in the face. And it's time to move forward. Or decide we don't want to, and we just want to go ahead and roll it up, roll the streets up, and go ahead and die. So if I sound passionate about this issue, I am, because my family's from here. I've lived here my entire life. My family's been involved in downtown since 1972, so this isn't something that I don't know about. And think people take issue sometimes when people say, well, we already have a vibrant downtown. You know, we got a block and a half. And we don't have a vibrant downtown. We have a downtown that's nice. We really do. We have a downtown that has some business opportunities here. But it's not a business climate that's thriving. We need a thriving downtown. Let's get away from quaint and nice and cute. Let's move away from that and let's get into thriving. That's where businesses succeed. That's where the community gets better. And that's where we have money to pay for stuff whenever we have thriving businesses who pay taxes, who shop and who dine and who stay here. So we either decide as a council to start making some decisions, start actually doing things, or are we just going to keep talking about it for another 2 years? Because I think, frankly, most people are just getting tired of talking about it. And we either decide we're not going to do anything, forget it, or move forward. So that's kind of what we're looking at, I believe. So, and I would encourage the gallery, and so far I haven't heard it, and I'm pleased. Rumor and innuendo about what city council people are doing or what elected officials are doing, that needs to stop. If you don't have any proof of somebody dirty dealing that you actually have proof of, hey, let's stop all that. Let's figure out what it takes to move forward. Let's figure out what it takes to come together as a community and get things right and get things done. So, thanks.
Thanks for your comments.
My name is Sandra Herrick. I live on Wheeler Drive in Aiken Estates here in Aiken. I think what we've talked about with Renaissance, number one, I know that every one of you want what's best for Aiken. It's just a difference of opinion about what's best for Aiken. And I think the first thing we need to do is get our priorities straight. And to me, one of the first priorities is a new public safety building so that those who serve and protect us will have decent working conditions and we can show how proud we are of them and give them what they need. Second priority is getting our infrastructure straightened out, fixed. Why bring in new buildings and search for new businesses when our infrastructure is falling apart in certain places? Get everything fixed and then go for the goodies and for the cherry on top of this chocolate sundae. That's what I've got to say.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else, please? Yes, ma'am.
Leslie Johnston, Aiken, Woodside resident. We bought property here in 2004, and we built and moved in 2008, and we worked with the realtor. I ask, what's going to keep Aiken the way it is? Because we came from a small city in southeastern Michigan that was a place we intended to stay because it didn't have big buildings and everything. It had family-owned businesses. It was a nice place to be, but it changed. And so we thought for retirement, this would be the place. The realtor said, people in Aiken want things the way they have been. I don't think he meant that he wanted to be stuck in cement, but they wanted to have a good atmosphere here. From where I sit and read, we are not exactly in turmoil, but we're in confusion. We have a mall that has died in a time, and I was a retail buyer for a department store, when retail in brick and mortar is dying. And that's something we have to face in the Aiken Mall and in downtown Aiken. You have to sell atmosphere, and you have to sell to young people, because all of us aren't going to be around forever. And those of us who do stay, and people are moving away in my age group, they say it's to be near family, etc. But some of them also say, I have nothing to do here. I'm going to go back to some place with more liveliness. So whatever the magic was for the Winter Colony and has moved on through, we've got to recapture it. And I feel sorry for a realtor who has to present Aiken right now, because I wouldn't buy here again. And I appreciate you have a lot on your plates, but it's got to get, as some of the other speakers have said, your priorities straight and move forward and be here to support it. Don't retire and go someplace else. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing no further hands in the audience, I want to thank all of the citizens that have spoken. We are all of us.
In the back.
Did I miss one in the back? I'm sorry. Come on. Didn't see your hand in time.
John Durgens. I live in the county. I very seldom come to the meetings. I do every now and then. I just wanted to understand what was going on with the city itself. I don't really understand what the purpose is for which we're going to do here, or who benefits by it. It seems like it's just in one place and not in the other, where Lawrence Street itself basically should be completely redone itself, because the landlords, for one reason or another, in the 10 years I've been here, have never even painted some of the buildings. And they still, you know, they're pretty rough looking. And the parking garage, that makes no sense to me. It's only going to benefit the hotel. I don't see why you have to do that. It just doesn't make sense. There's a building just on the other side of this building, on the other side of the pizza place, which is a pretty decent looking two-story building. And all the time I've been here, that building's only been rented once. For about 8 months, the guy went out of business because he just wasn't hawking something that someone wants. And as far as like drawing people into the city or drawing people into the county or whatever, it's a tough call, because if anyone ever sits and talks to me, if I could sell my house tomorrow, I take a $200,000 beating on the house. That's the only way I can sell it. I have $500,000 tied up in the property. It's just worthless. Absolutely worthless. It's just, maybe I'm just stupid, or I'm a little naive. You're naming all the people that own this property, which I have no idea who they are. If you name the buildings, whether it was the bar or the cleaners or the other thing, the buildings, I might know what you were talking about. But I'm sitting here, I have really no idea of what you're talking about. But you keep talking, but still, what's the purpose? What's going to keep young people here? Why spend all this money just on the corner of over in the street over here, but yet the rest of the city is doing nothing to get their buildings done? The only person that's really had any foresight to fix this building is the guy in the True Value Store, which did a fine job of remodeling the building, wiring it right, and putting heat and air conditioning in it. I think he did an excellent job in there. And I believe if someone else would do the same thing or wouldn't be afraid to put some money in, I think you need to find people like that. Most of the buildings, they don't utilize the upstairs in the buildings, simply because the buildings structurally, I don't believe, could hold the weight of either offices or to use it for people to live in, because the building's 100 years old and you really don't know what the structure is of the building itself. So it's really a tough call, like what you're going to remodel and what you're not going to remodel. But I still don't understand why there's a big emphasis on this one part of the town where the rest of the town is suffering. Some people may not care what I have to say, but that's okay.
Yeah. We encourage all comments.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I don't think that I miss anybody else. Okay. Again, let me thank all of you.
Mayor Pro Tem, Council, Philip Jordan, Green Ash Court. Just a quick response to the gentleman before. The reason why this property is being talked about is because it is, in fact, up for sale. And number two, I know that with the Renaissance program project, I know that my business, which is right across the street over here, would benefit greatly from it. So two things directly at the gentleman before.
Thank you. And I'll try closing the meeting again. Thank all of the citizens for coming. Mr. Biedenbaugh is going to show a list of all the city emails. All of us are, all the city council, city staff is on the website, as well as all of our phone numbers. And I know a lot of you know my phone numbers because you've called me. So thank you for doing that. As we stated before, Stuart, you want to put that up? Okay. As we all of us have stated up here, Mr. Smith and Mr. Clem, please send any other comments, questions, or concerns in to any of us. And as we get the appropriate answers, we'll duly get those out to you. So with that, yes, if you have the mayor come back in, we'll proceed with the meeting. And again, thanks all of you for coming. Great. Ma'am, how are you?
Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Well, you're kind.
I'd like to be able to explain to you what my concerns are. I tried to make a brief based off of Councilman Waters' article papers.
I will have some there while you talk.
Okay, this is and I think you need to know what's on my mind because you're the only guy who can fix it if I'm right. And so I'll give you my information.
I'll call you tomorrow. Thank you, Ron.
We're going to resume our meeting.
Guess we wait till they clear out.
Yeah.
Football game to play.
That's right.
Yes. That's an incentive.
Let's make some tracks.
Moving down our agenda to old business, number one under old business is approval of appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, Council has 16 pending appointments to fill vacancies on different city boards, commissions, and committees. Six appointments are presented for Council's consideration and vote at the meeting tonight. Councilman Ebner has recommended the reappointment of Don Broderick to the Design Review Board. If reappointed, Mr. Broderick's term would expire on December 31st, 2018. Councilwoman Price has recommended the reappointment of Ms. Cummings, Belise Cummings to the Design Review Board. If reappointed, Ms. Cummings' term would expire December 31st, 2018. Councilwoman Diggs recommended the reappointment of Ben Lott to the Design Review Board, and if reappointed, his term would expire December 31st, 2018. For council consideration is the reappointment of Don Broderick, Felice Cummings, and Ben Lott to the Design Review Board with terms to expire December 31st.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Clem. Is there a motion for these appointments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Are there any other appointments to be considered for our next meeting?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to reappoint Liz Stewart for Planning Commission, and also would like to suggest Karen Petit for the Senior Commission.
Any other appointees for consideration at our next meeting? Good. Moving on. Number 200, old business. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 1212 Whiskey Road, zone it planned commercial and approve the concept plan. By title, an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain properties consisting of 0.402 acres of land, more or less, owned by Marketplace Art, LLC, and located at 1212 Whiskey Road, and to zone the same planned commercial PC. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, the Planning Commission at their meeting on November 15, 2016, considered a request by Marketplace LLC for annexation of 1212 Whiskey Road. The party requested general business zoning for the property, but the Planning Commission at the November 15, 2016 meeting recommended that the applicant rezone the property to plan commercial and submit a concept plan for approval by City Council after review and recommendation by the Planning Director. Several years ago, City Council adopted a policy that all annexations along the Whiskey Road corridor would be zoned plan commercial or plan residential. In the past, the property at 1212 Whiskey Road has been used as a convenience store, but has been vacant for some time. The applicant intends to rehabilitate the property, repair the roof, replace the gas station canopy with a more attractive facade, and extensively renovate the interior for lease as retail, commercial, or office uses. The applicant intends to have two tenant spaces of approximately 1,800 to 2,000 square feet each. If annexed, the structure, access, parking, and landscape would be non-conforming. Section 8.1.5C of the zoning ordinance allows alterations or additions to a structure, quote, provided the alterations or additions do not increase the nonconformity of the building or structure to the building setback line, height limitations, yard, or other provisions regulating the size and placement of buildings and structures for the district in which the nonconforming building or structure is located. After review, the Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend approval of the application with the following conditions as stated in the application in the agenda. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the December 12, 2016 meeting. For City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 1212 Whiskey Road, zone it plan commercial, and approve the concept plan contingent upon the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission. And I know, Mr. Mayor, the applicant is present this evening to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Mr. Esco, appreciate you being with us. Do you have any comments that you'd like to make, or just make yourself available for questions?
Yeah, just available for questions.
Sure. Are there any questions?
I just have one. I'm a little confused. Is that between you and Harry's, is that a road that goes to Wisteria, or just an easement?
It's actually a county road. We discovered it in the survey process.
That's what I thought you said the last time. I was concerned about it. No name road?
Three-way, no.
Thank you. Blue Parkway?
Yes. Just a quick comment, Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say thank you to Mr. Uskup for acquiring this property, investing the time and effort and money that he is on this property. I think, Leslie may can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this particular property was maybe one of the ground zero properties when Steve Thompson was city manager, and we were dealing with trying to bring county properties that were in donut halls into the city, and this one's often been cited as an example of something that the city needs to take on or clean up or improve, and the city hadn't been able to, but Tom is going to do that, and I just wanted to say thank you for doing this. I think it's going to actually do a lot for Whiskey Road, and hopefully it will encourage the other folks near you to do the same.
I think Harry already cleaned up some of the shrubbery around his property. So.
Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you, Mr. Esco. Appreciate you being here tonight. Are there any other comments from the audience? Any other comments from council? Okay. All those in favor of this on second reading, please raise your hand. And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to number three, this is a second reading and a public hearing of an ordinance to approve the repurposing and reallocation of CPST funds by title, an ordinance to repurpose the use of funds from the capital project sales tax. Is there a motion?
Don't move, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you. Comments from staff?
And Mr. Mayor, at the April 13, 2015 meeting, City Council approved the repurposing of CPSC 2 and 3 funds. Now the projects and priorities need to be reevaluated and adjusted again. At the November 14, 2016 City Council work session, Ms. Joy Gillespie, Capital Project Sales Tax Manager, discussed with Council some staff recommendations for the reallocation of CPSC funds. The recommendations are as stated in the agenda package. The recommendation is to transfer $152,952.04 from the above listed projects to item 11, light curb, sidewalk, and landscape project, and increase the project balance to $852,884.84. Also, it has been determined that a new fire station is currently not required and is recommended to transfer the budget allocated from item 15, public safety, new fire headquarters, and the amount of $1,250,000 to item 19, public safety building expansion project, for a total project budget of $2,124,712.60. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the December 12, 2016 meeting. For City Council consideration is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance reallocating the funds for CPSD 2 and 3 projects as recommended by staff and discussed at the November 14, 2016 City Council work session. And of course, we have PRT Director Jessica Campbell and Joy Gillespie and Chief Marenko here to answer any questions that you may have.
All right. Thank you, sir. Any comments from the audience? Comments or questions from Council?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to vote to approve it, but I would request that we get an update at our next meeting or any meeting thereafter on the status of CPSC 3, how much we expect to collect. As I look at the sheet now here, the amount that has been approved is $26 million. The amount left to spend is $22 million, which comes to $48 million. We originally expected to receive $44.6 million, and we're not going to get to that. But I think perhaps talking with the county treasurer, we could get a better estimate of how much he thinks we're going to get, because I know there's one project at the bottom of the list that's pretty important, but I don't know that we're going to get to it. So just kind of a general update of how much money we think we're going to get and how far down on that priority list we're going to get.
So a report from our finance department on the latest estimates of CPSD.
Yes.
Thank you, Councilman DeWall. We'll have that in the next meeting.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to new business. This is first reading of an ordinance to annex 104 Recreation Drive. 104 Recreation Drive is under residential single family RS-15. By title, an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken property owned by Hattie and Jerry McCarty and to zone the same residential single family RS-15. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, sir. Is there a second?
Second.
Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, at the Planning Commission meeting of December 13, 2016, Patty C. and Jerry E. McCarty requested annexation of 104 Recreation Drive and zoning as residential single family. The property is a single lot consisting of 1.04 acres in the Gem Lakes Estates subdivision that is currently an unincorporated donut hole. The surrounding lots are incorporated in zone RS-15. After review, the Planning Commission voted 6-0 to recommend approval for annexation of 104 Recreation Drive with RS-15 zoning. For City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to annex 104 Recreation Drive and zone it RS-15.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Any comments from the audience? Comments from Council? All those in favor of this on first reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number two under new business. This is first reading of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for 2286 Whiskey Road, the old TD Bank property. by title and ordinance amending the concept plan for property located at 2286 Whiskey Road. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, ma'am. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, the Planning Commission at their December 13, 2016 meeting considered a request from Joshua Cox, Aiken Highway 19 LLC, for approval of a concept plan for 2286 Whiskey Road. The applicant is requesting concept plan approval of a 7,680-square-foot discount tire store. The property was previously annexed into the city and rezoned planned commercial by ordinances as mentioned in the agenda. The property was previously occupied by TD Bank. Several years ago, City Council adopted a policy that all annexations along the Whiskey Road corridor would be with PC or PR zoning. For any development in the PC zone, a concept plan must be reviewed by the Planning Commission and approved by City Council. Also, City Council adopted a policy on November 12, 2001, which requires all annexations on Whiskey Road to comply with the Whiskey Road corridor study done by LDR International, which consists of the piping of open ditches, installation of sidewalks, and the planting of street trees, if determined feasible by the city. The property to the north of 2286 Whiskey Road, which is occupied by Krispy Kreme and Harbor Freight, is incorporated in zone planned commercial. To the south is NTV Tire Service, which is located outside the city in zone urban district. To the west across Whiskey Road is Ruby Tuesdays and Chick-fil-A, which are zoned general business. To the east is unincorporated land, which is currently utilized as a residential manufactured home lot. A copy of the proposed concept plan and signed details for the monument sign and building signage are attached to the memorandum in the agenda. The concept plan depicts a 7,680-square-foot single-tenant building. The purpose use, the proposed use is a discount tire store for vehicle tire service. The concept plan shows 49 parking spaces. The required parking for the proposed use would be 54 parking spaces. A waiver is requested for less parking spaces. The driveway would be reduced to one full movement access driveway per South Carolina Department of Transportation request. The driveway has been moved to the southern portion of the property and is limited to a maximum width of 30 feet. The parcel will also have interconnectivity with the Krispy Kreme and Harbor Freight parcel. Also, a stub out will be provided at the southern rear portion of the property that will allow future connectivity to Oak Grove Road. The developer has indicated that the site and landscape plan will be provided, will provide the required open space. The developer has submitted a traffic study for review and approval by the City of Aiken on-call traffic engineer. The on-call traffic engineer concurs with the findings of the study and does not see the project causing any significant traffic increase on Whiskey Road. After review, the Planning Commission voted 6-0 to recommend approval of the concept plan with the following conditions as listed in the agenda. For City Council approval is first reading of an ordinance to approve a concept plan for 2286 Whiskey Road with the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission.
All right, thank you, Mr. Clem. Any comments from the audience? I know you appreciate you being with us tonight. You would state your name.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kelly Wagoner with Buckle Design Group. We're the civil engineers working on behalf of Discount Tire Company. I'm just here tonight to and available to answer any questions. We've had a chance to obviously read the ordinance and do not have any objections with the language in there or the conditions. We're not aware of any opposition as well. Otherwise, I'm just here to and available to address any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Are there any questions while Kelly's up?
I have one, yes, sir, if I might, Mr. Mayor. I'm very keen on interconnectivity on all these developments, especially as that eastern side of Whiskey is being redeveloped. And it looks to me like on we've got in our package one primary concept plan. There's another one that is a little different, but it's a is part of the submission. Looks like it's smaller, probably not the official one, but in this it shows at the right rear of the property, which would be the southeastern side, shows future interparcel access way there, and it references it in the narrative as connecting towards Oak Grove Road. But it would appear to me, in looking at it, that and I may be mistaken. If I am, I hope you'll correct me, but it appeared to me that interparcel access way would direct traffic almost directly into the side of the neighboring building. Isn't that another tire? What's next door to it?
NTB.
NTB, okay. And it looks like the placement of that particular access point is almost directed into the side of the building, and which would make it virtually impossible to really connect towards Ginger or Oak Grove or anything else. Am I wrong on that?
No, sir. You're correct in that it is in very close proximity. You know, I guess it's part of. There's a couple of things the way that I've looked at this when I've reviewed the property, reviewed long range adjacent properties. We don't believe that NTB would ever agree to allowing us to come in and have interparcel connectivity.
Right.
We believe, and I think it was noted during some of the discussion with Planning Commission that at some point in the future, should that property ever redevelop, would be the ideal time, more of as a larger project, perhaps with city involvement, to make a public road connection potentially to Oak Grove. You know, we are certainly flexible with our planning to some degree to locate that future interparcel access to a different location. You know, we would probably have some objections right immediately at our building, just because this is the primary customer service.
Right. Now the rear is would be better for y'all and for anybody else. You don't want it right near the driveway because cars are coming in and out there, and you don't want it right in front of the building because of all the obvious problems with that. The spirit of what our planning department has asked you to do, I'm 100% in agreement with, but I do think the devil's in the details, and it's going to be hard to make that work. It almost might be one of those things where there's a provision or a condition or something that it allow for future connectivity, whether it be to the south or to the east, to be determined as conditions dictate, and maybe if it were possible to slide that detention pond just slightly north a little bit, so if it turned out that there's a connector road directly behind y'all,
yes, sir,
that you could get straight out, go moving east.
Yes, sir.
I want to keep the options open because right now I know that NTB isn't going to want you driving into their side of their building.
Right, right.
Does that make sense? Does everybody follow what I'm saying?
The only problem I'm envisioning is how do you put that in language that could be used in the future?
That they grant, that there's a condition of this approval, that they grant future connectivity, whether it be, and you could show two potential spots, or you could just say either to the from the southeast corner moving east, or from the southeast corner moving south, or something like that. I mean, however,
the diagram shows two interconnectivity spots already.
There's one.
No, there's one to the north side.
Oh, I'm talking about at the right rear. That's right. I'm talking about. Right. And what I'm saying is, if it shows it at just one spot, then for that to ever happen, you almost have to hope for the redevelopment of the NTB property. All I'm saying is, let's keep an option open where it could go directly eastward, which would be straight out of the back. Because on this diagram, it would be better if I had it on the screen, but on this diagram, it would be the uppermost right-hand corner of the property going straight up the page to give option to connect it that way, instead of having to go through the NTB property at that building. And I just keep that option open. He's agreeable to that if we can find a way to word it.
And may I suggest perhaps we are can somehow add language to provide a access easement from the point as shown on the future interparcel access proceeding all the way to the rear property line at a width of 25 feet. And that way, at some point in the future, that would not impact any of our potential development, what we need to do, and it would provide some flexibility from that point along the property line.
Mr. Mayor, would that accommodate what
you're saying? Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be great.
Perhaps we could work out language with staff for second reading.
I just think we want to keep that accessway viable as possible, especially if we hope to ever improve Whiskey Road.
If we ever build this Lighthouse Connector Road, does this have any impact on this? Is there any effort that we're ever going to get a road behind these four pieces of property, his property? And
you never know, but if there is a Powderhouse Connector Road, you'd expect it to be going through that where Oak Grove, where that intersection is with Eastgate Drive, mm-hmm. which is 150 feet, 200 feet maybe, away from the southern border of their property. I may be underestimating that distance, maybe 300 feet, but it's not far. And so if Atoll Avenue, which moves south from there, also moved north, he would come right behind his piece of property. That's why...
Well, there is a road there called Ginger Lane.
Yeah.
So that would be...
Yeah, whether you call it Ginger or Atoll or whether it's...
Two different roads.
But the point is, whatever the name of the road in the future, there is a possibility that there could be a road there.
I like the idea that we're removing an access point to Whiskey, I think. I like that. Once again, we're letting another business go in on Whiskey. We're going to have an entrance back onto Whiskey. They said it can't be right in, right out because of concerns about U-turns.
U-turn, yeah.
I don't know. Now, it also says that this whole thing requires DOT approval. Is it likely to get DOT approval?
We have been in correspondence with DOT, and the plan that we have settled on has been approved by DOT.
Implies the DOT's
concept, Manor, and I'd be more than happy to forward those email correspondence.
Well, we can get it on a second reading. Right.
But they already relocated your driveway to the south.
Sure.
Yeah, so DOT's
they've
approved what's been done so far.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm just trying to give it away with this rear connectivity that people don't have to get back out on Whiskey Road per se. Could get around and come up at the light if there ever is a powerhouse connector. They can come and join Whiskey Road through a lighted intersection rather than from the driveway.
All right, I'm going to ask you to work with our staff for second reading so that verbiage will be in. Okay. All right, thank you. Are there any other comments from the audience? I didn't want to short any.
Thank you, sir, Mr. Wagner. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Any other comments from council on first reading? All those in favor on first reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number three, this is first reading of an ordinance to rezone 11.87 acres known as DuPont Meadows from residential single family and general business to planned residential and approve the concept plan by title, an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by DuPont Landing, LLC, from residential single family, RS8, and general business, GB, to planned residential, PR, and to approve the concept plan. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Right, we have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the Planning Commission at their December 13, 2016 meeting considered a request from DuPont Landing, LLC, and Second Baptist Church, CDC, and Rural Health Services, Inc., for rezoning and concept plan approval for DuPont Meadows, located off of Voorhees Street and Clyburn Place, adjacent to DuPont Landing. The applicants are requesting rezoning from residential single family and general business to planned residential. Currently, the RS8 zoning encompasses the majority of the current zoning, with the GB portion being a section of road currently owned by Rural Health Services, Inc. The applicants are also requesting the approval of a concept plan to construct 52-bedroom duplex units in a community Clements. A proposed development would connect to DuPont Landing, which consists of 44 single-family detached homes. The proposed development would target senior households 55 years or older and would be rental property. In 2006, Council adopted a policy that tracts of land 4 acres or more requesting rezoning or annexation for the provision of city utility services and used primarily for residential purposes be zoned to comply with the planned residential zoning. For any development in the PR zone, a concept plan must be reviewed by the Planning Commission and approved by the City Council. At the December 13, 2016 meeting, the Planning Commission reviewed the request for rezoning and the proposed concept plan. After the review, the Planning Board voted 4-0, with Commissioners Matthews and Stewart recusing themselves, to recommend approval of the applicant for concept plan approval with the following conditions as stated in the agenda. For City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to approve the application for rezoning 11.87 acres from residential single family and general business to planned residential and approval of the concept plan with the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission. And I know Mr. Mayor, our friends from DuPont Landing LLC, Second Baptist Church and Rural Health Services are present this evening to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, very good. Are there any comments from the audience?
Good evening. I'm Tilden Hildebrand with Hassan Hildebrand, here representing DuPont Meadows Limited Partnership and Second Baptist Church. Also, Mr. Harvey Ramseur is here tonight with me from Second Baptist Church, and I would like to address any questions that you have related to this project.
Okay, thank you, Tilden. Are there any questions for Tilden at this time about the project? All right, if anybody comes up before we vote, we'll let you know. Thank you for that.
I just want to say how much I like his orange shirt tonight.
That's right. He's making a sacrifice to be here tonight, isn't he? Any other comments from the audience? Okay. Comments, questions from council?
Just glad to see Mr. Ramseur and his associates going through with another phase of DuPont land, and it's been such a blessing to so many, and certainly enjoy seeing the progress in that area. So thank you so much, Mr. Ramseur.
I'd like Harvey to come forward for a moment, please. Mm-hmm. I know, Harvey, you don't want to. You're a man behind the scenes. You don't want any spotlight on you, but we're going to put some spotlight on you today. Harvey, this relates some to this plan, but how many units have you all renovated and completed? Let's add this in this community.
We've not done any renovations. All of our developments have been new developments from the ground up. And we have completed 86 units.
That's this doesn't include the 50 here, does it?
Yeah, well, we haven't started that yet.
Well, that's 86 so far has been completed.
Right. That are all occupied at this moment.
You all are to be admired. You're not talking, you're doing something, and doing something that is much needed in terms of providing housing for folks who did not think, one, they could live in their place, and secondly, with this project here, these are seniors that you're catering to, and some not quite seniors, that will find some great use in a very nicely designed, and you are to be commended, home. And I see Charles, Matthews is part of your congregation there. You all are about the business of doing something that really impacts this town, and we really appreciate that. This is not the only thing you all have got going at Second Baptist, but a lot of good things, and thank you.
We could not have done anything that we've done thus far without the support of the City Council. You've listened to all of our concerns, and you've acted in our in our behalf and in our favor. At one point, I thought during as we were planning this project that members of this, of your planning department were part of our staff.
Wow.
We're so closely involved in answering questions and making sure that we didn't stumble in the process. What we hope is that with this development, it's a tax credit development that we want to go forward with. If it is successful, then that plot of land will become what we're thinking will be an intergenerational community. And we think that the energy from the 44 homes, which will be only occupied at the conclusion of the 15-year performance period, while the 50 that we want to build now will be, because of the way the plan is structured, will be rental properties. We think the energy will complement both units of the development. But we're certainly appreciative of the support that the council has given, and we're always ready to receive more.
My question is, when
we've got the DuPont Landing and DuPont Meadows, what's the next one going to be called?
Amsoil Place, Safari Ranch.
Mr. Ramsey.
You know already that we moved to Aiken to retire and to get involved in art.
Please.
Trump retirement, big time. So,
but how did you so quietly moved about to do a very good job, not only for the people that need it, but for us as well? We appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
So my question is, when is construction going to begin?
Construction will be, the application period for this tax credit round opens in March. If we're successful, and we hope and pray that we will be successful, then we'd know in June or July whether or not we're successful in the funding. And if that's the case, then we'd be looking at construction in about a year. And if the weather holds up, we'd be out of construction in less than a year.
Thank you, Mr. Ramsey.
Thank you.
Appreciate all you do for our community.
And thanks to the Planning Commission, too, for being his right hand.
Any other comments? All those in favor on first reading? And, of course, that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number four. This is first reading of an ordinance to amend the 2016-17 budget for stormwater drainage project on Chesterfield Street at the historic railroad cut and accept bid for project. By title, an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2016 and ending June 30, 2017. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, for several years, the storm drainage infrastructure at the Chesterfield Street Bridge and the historic railroad cut has needed replacing. This corrugated metal pipe was installed in the 1970s. We have worked with our consulting engineers from the Cranston Engineering Group on a solution. The project was put out to bid in October 2016 with the lowest responsible bid of $936,150. This amount was well over the budget. Staff and Cranston reworked the budget document, by redesigning the project by removing the restoration portion of the initial bid and made it strictly a stabilization project. The second bid opening was held on December 15, 2016. The low bid of $629,727, which includes a 7% contingency. We will need to make a budget adjustment of up to $95,000 to complete the work, which will include some additional contingency of 3%. There are sufficient reserve funds and the account designated in the memorandum. For council approval, is first reading of an ordinance amending the 16-17 budget to include funding for the Chesterfield Street Storm Drainage Project. And of course, Public Works Director Michelle Jones is here to answer any questions that you may have. This is only first reading.
Thank you, Mr. Clean. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? Yes.
That's right.
Forward that, Councilman Mayor.
Yeah.
Thought so. Number five, first reading of an ordinance approving the lease of property at the Aiken Municipal Airport. By title, an ordinance approving the lease of property at the Aiken Municipal Airport. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, since 1972, the United States Department of Energy has leased space for an air monitoring station at the Aiken Municipal Airport. The Department of Energy would like to renew the lease for 20 more years at the same site at the airport, specifically a 40-by-40 parcel of land near the intersection of US 1 and Aviation Boulevard. DOE monitors air emissions generated by the Savannah River site at this location for public health and safety purposes. This is one of four air monitoring sites DOE maintains near the Savannah River site. The others are located in Stelling, South Carolina, in Augusta at the Lock and Dam, and at the Georgia Welcome Center located on US 301. Staff and city attorney have reviewed the lease and recommend its acceptance for council consideration as first reading of an ordinance approving the lease of property at the Aiken Municipal Airport. And our airport manager is here to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Quinn. Any comments from the audience? Comments or questions from council?
Mr. Mayor, we have two people here from the U.S. Department of Energy sitting in the audience here. If you will stand so that we'll know who you are.
Thank you for being with us tonight.
I was going to recommend approval on the condition that we finish marks and get approval and open Yucca Mountain. But
Is that in the form of an amendment?
I tell you what, if you can do that.
There's no charge for this, is it? This is a free.
It's $1 a year, isn't it? Sure.
Always been free?
$1 a year.
Oh, is it $1 a year? Okay.
All right, any other comments? All right, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving to petitions and requests. Number one, this is an approval of grant award from the South Carolina Land and Water Conservation Fund for improvements to Eustis Park. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, a few months ago, Joy Gillespie, our capital project sales tax manager, notified the council in a work session that she was going to apply for a grant from the South Carolina Land and Water Conservation Fund for rehabilitation work in the old Eustis Park area. She applied for the grant and has received a project agreement for $200,000 from the State Land and Water Conservation Fund, with the local share also being $200,000 for a total project of $400,000. The proposed project will replace the existing playground equipment and rehabilitation of the walking trails and tennis courts. The project also includes installation of a surface parking area with ADA accessibility, sidewalks and walking trail connectors to Eustis Park. The grant of $200,000 requires a 50% match, totaling $400,000 for the project. The city's share of the funding would be provided through CPSD 3 funding for Project 11, light, curbs, sidewalk, and landscaping. For City Council consideration is approval of a $200,000 matching grant from the South Carolina Land and Water Conservation Fund for improvements at Eustis Park, with the city's matching funds coming for CPSD 3 funds. And I would be remiss if I did not recognize publicly Joy Gillespie, Jessica Campbell, and other staff who really worked diligently to apply for this grant opportunity.
They've been busy people.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that 100% match?
Actually, it's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 50%. Yeah. You're right.
They've been busy people.
A good grant writer's been on that.
Thank you.
So let me say, first of all, congratulations, Joy and Jessica and the team that worked on this. I know it's a lot of work to get one of these grants, and we certainly appreciate your efforts, and they paid off. So thank you. Yeah. Are there any comments from the audience? Yes, ma'am.
I noticed Betty's shaking her head saying, Good, good, good.
Good evening. First, I want to say good evening to all of you. And I want to just thank you for everything you've done in reference to Two Hill and anywhere in Aiken. I just love Aiken. When I go to Edgefield, I brag about Aiken. Come to Aiken and get some of what we got. So I just see as we grow, I love it. I just love it. And thank you guys. I know it was hard work, and I thank the staff that got the grant for us, and we talked several times, and here it is, the doors were open. I just want to remind you all, when you start your plan for Two Hill, most of you know that I've been there 53 years. And I thought I was the youngest kid on the block, but I found out I wasn't. We have seniors there, a bunch of seniors. I want you to know that when you plan the crossing for the park, I'm getting the seniors more interested in getting out. We sit uptown on the street by the hotel. We do a lot of things. We're getting ready to plant a garden for the children. And I want to say to you, if you happen to use that property across the street next to McCormick Street, leave my kids just a little bit, a little room so we can plant our garden in APA there. The children will be planting. And what we plan to do once we get our center in progress and do whatever we're going to do there, I plan to teach the children cooking classes. We're going to bring it from the garden to the table. And I'll be looking forward to all these exciting things we want to do. But don't forget, it's no longer Morgan Street. It's Interstate Morgan. Interstate McCormick. Because the cars do not stop. 75, 80, some of them hit trees. It just hit the corner of Morgan and Abbeville last week. It almost went into this lady's house. So if you think, I tell you, we have a great chief. I talk to him all the time about this. But now, chief, I think we have started the seniors to go out in the road and just stop the traffic. That's what they've been doing. They stop the people and ask them not to come through here this fast. So as we progress along, I do want you to think it's from Richland down the curve around Morgan. There's a deep curve there. It's from Abbeville to cross Hampton, cross Morgan. Every one of those streets now interstates. And we're really having a rough time. But as you all progress with the plan, we got to find some type of crossing to be able to get everybody where they want to go. And again, I just want to thank you all. I know I've been talking to quite a few of you. And I tell you, you cannot do anything else but satisfy me with everything you're doing. And I'm not only concerned about my side. I'm concerned about east side, west side, because I travel them all. So thank you again, and you've made a difference. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
I need a tape of that. Every time I get down about city council stuff, I want to be able to replay that.
Oh, Miss Betty.
Yeah.
Miss Betty, I just want an invitation to the part where the food is cooked and going to the table.
I'm in a meeting up here.
That's what I like to hear.
And the children is very excited. My 10-year-old, when we do our, right after we do our tennis classes, they didn't want to know for me what's next. And I already told them, cooking, we're going to learn, you know, driver's education books are going to start from 12 to 15. Learning the book, and then once they learn the book, they'll be ready for it.
Are you ready for more tennis rackets?
Yes.
She's ready for that.
You've been good. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we need to vote on the approval.
About 30 more.
Right. Any other comments from council? All right. This is a vote on approval of the grant. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. And again, we want to thank the staff who worked so hard to make that grant happen. Number two was actually pulled under the approval of the agenda. So we move down to number three, which is election schedule for November 2017 general election. And I think this is just for information, but I'll recognize Our city manager, Mr. Clem.
Mr. Mayor, I will defer to our city clerk if she would like, but this is, our city clerk has reviewed the ordinance for the election schedule and has provided the schedule for conducting the upcoming election as printed in the agenda.
Question for the city attorney. Do we need to vote on this?
You do not. You're just receiving those information.
Thank you. And on our webpage somewhere, maybe? If we can find a place to put that so people could readily access it, so I think it would be good. So, thank you for that. Thank you, John. Moving down to information, issues, and updates. Does anybody have anything? Philip, you want to say anything about...
I want to very quickly say hello and welcome to the mystery man from Brunswick, and also go Tigers.
But you don't
know, no, don't tell me.
You don't want to know the score.
Tell me a word.
We hope all of our friends from South Carolina and Aiken who are there have a good game at it and have safe travels and enjoy their time there. So that is our motion to adjourn.
I don't move.
A motion, a second.
All those in favor, please stand up.
All right, I'll see you on.
Chief Baranko, can I see you for just a second, please?
All right. Presentation, not that.